We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This hour brought to you by Accelerated Tax Resolution.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Duds, we're going to need you because you're going to watch the whole thing.
Chiefs bring pressure. Fields wrapped up by probably the best man up front for Kansas City in Chris Jones. And he shuts down the Chicago drive to start the day.
Two wide to the left, slot receiver as well. And a one back set. Play fake, back to throw. Going to screen it to the tight end. And he's in to the end zone. Up the right side.
That's bad.
Perhaps this will please the gentleman.
Shotgun. In tight, Tajay Sharp. Good push up front protection as Fields lobs it down the left side up in the air. Oh. Fields! To Mooney, the catch and a first down into Kansas City territory.
Blitz, the Chiefs bring pressure, Fields hit as he throws. Oh my goodness, what a great effort by Tajay Sharp.
That's good.
Did you get worried about the field condition at all, or it wasn't a factor?
No. A lot better than my high school field was.
Understand?
Not much.
That's bad.
Can I go now?
One, two, three.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
And now we have a new goal for today's show. In addition to reacting to preseason game number 1, giving some professional radio around here now that Bernstein has left the building.
Oh my God.
Tracking, it was a pretty sick highlight by Bronny James. I got to admit,
that's fine.
It was pretty sick.
That's fine. We can watch it during a break. Yeah. You've already seen it. That's good. Good for you.
Yeah. Steve Stone, Mark Grody, many things still to come. We got to find St. Omni.
Oh my God.
Working on it. So we're coming up empty on Twitter. Coming up, there's a Facebook account titled St. Omni that might
Studs.
Be him.
Studs.
We can talk about this off the air.
Studs. Here's the thing, man. I want results. Shane's gone. Tanny's gone. Don't tell me the recipe. Just give me the finished product. All right?
You don't want to know how it's made?
Listen, the last time we gave you a task, a goal, you got Ashton Kutcher on the show. Almost.
It was great.
Yeah, and it was great. And it gave us content for months.
At least you got right to him when he told you that his email address was ashton@gmail.com.
Right. So the last time you had a big task.
Or was it ashton@kutcher.com? Either way.
There's really no way to know. But we know that it was just a huge success. So yeah. Today, the goal is to find St. Omni. This guy's out there. I found an article. He worked with Charles Cross, the 9th overall pick out of Mississippi State by the Seattle Seahawks. Hmm. He's a business manager for NFL players. So this guy is legit.
Sure, he's legit. He's just...
not a certified agent.
He's just... he's crossed over a boundary. Roquan has put himself in a situation where he needs somebody to do things that only an agent is allowed to do.
Yeah. Oh, we got Ray Diaz, right, on the show today?
Ray.
We got the Diaz difference.
Let Studs worry about the board. Diaz. Chase, you go crazy.
All right, you want to go old school, Speaks? Want to go old school?
Yeah.
All right, producer Bounty.
Bounty.
$100. Someone got, we want St. Omni on the air by the end of the show today.
Yep.
$100.
I like it.
Yep. Okay. Diaz v. Studs.
All right, Studs.
All right.
Ready for this, man? I think I'm going to show you up, man.
It's all you.
It's all you.
You're conceding because you have to push a few buttons.
No, that's right. I like the concession. he's concentrating on being the best Chris Tannehill he can be.
Okay.
It's a hard thing to do.
All right. Shane would have been hung up on by now by St. Omni's significant other.
Right. And
so
by,
he would have said something offensive to someone in his inner circle, and we would have been blacklisted.
He also, if he was drunk, he might have called 4 different Omni hotels.
Right.
So it's possible.
So you guys have a lot to live up to today.
Be better.
You never know.
For anyone who doesn't know who St. Omni is, the NFL Management Council has sent out basically a warning to all the teams. Do not do business with this person. He's not a certified agent. He's making calls on behalf of Roquan Smith trying to facilitate trades. That's not allowed. So we're going to try to track down St. Omni and see what the hell's going on around here.
Oh, it's incredible.
So, that $100.
That is this ongoing saga. I saw that the Bears are dreaming of having this all taken care of and wrapped up by Thursday.
Yeah, you know? Brad Biggs said that.
Yeah, Biggsy said that.
I don't know if the Bears have any such delusions.
Well, I think as we'll hear at around 3 o'clock, when the Bears talk, sometimes...
Sometimes Brad Biggs is talking. Yes, he's very well-sourced over there with the
Extremely
Bears.
Extremely well-connected.
That is true. Okay, so we can talk micro about individual success stories. We can do what we will do every Bears Monday of the NFL season, which is... grade and evaluate the progress of Justin Fields. But I honestly feel like giving a big picture macro attaboy to Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles.
It feels appropriate to do so, doesn't it?
Well, I've been pretty critical of the new brain trust.
I know.
I didn't love how Ryan Poles allocated the resources that were limited with the second round picks and the limited free agent dollars that he spent. Didn't think he did enough to give us a fair evaluation of Fields. Didn't love the Eberflus hire because it was old school defense instead of new school offense when the league is clearly moving in that direction. I've been critical. But the rookie class looked great.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears starters got outplayed thoroughly by the Chiefs starters, which we knew, but the Bears backups thoroughly outplayed the Chiefs backups, which speaks to roster depth and effort. And the whole point of the hits principle is fly around the football, hustle, intensity, smart situational football, right? It's a weird acronym, but they played a clean brand of football. It was a successful challenge, and they were noticeably playing with aggression and effort for all 4 quarters. Like, that was a clean football game, even if ultimately it was a meaningless football game.
I totally agree. And that is, there's some low bar that's going on in there, but also there's some high bar there. Like, go ahead, and you got to be functional before you can do anything. I love that he's a CEO. I love that the offensive coordinator is calling the plays with his blessings. I love that the defensive coordinator is calling the plays with his blessings. I love that he's taking notes. Do you, man. Whatever works, you know. We take notes all the time on our phone through, you know, maybe he could have a tablet and have it be easier. But if he likes just taking out the pad and taking notes, go for it, man. He won his challenge. That whole system runs well. I feel like that guy is going to be someone who can successfully run the show as a coach, and we've heard this about him doing it in practice, and now we've seen him do it in a game. And he's had that reputation forever as a real good, solid, organized coach. Is he the best communicator? No. Is Hits a little silly just because we think acronyms are silly? In its essence, Hits is a pretty good acronym. Like, it's fine. And people, smart players have benefited from it. But anyway, the point on him... functional coachy McCoacherton. I'll giggle at you when you talk publicly, but if you're going to be that kind of guy and run a clean game and a clean practice, sounds good to me.
Yeah, and like they were, it was noticeable. Like, the Hits principle, as I understand it, distilled down to its simplest form, is basically we are grading you on every play, and part of it is hustle, like run to the ball. Finish plays. The more people who are around the ball, the better chance you have of taking the ball away,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
To be a good turnover team, all of that stuff, to play clean football, right? The Colts were one of the least penalized teams in the NFL the last couple of years. Man, they were that thin line between reckless abandon and just high-intensity football.
Yeah, man.
They were flirting with it.
Jaquan Brisker, is... he might get a penalty or two during the course of the year, but overall, his desire to be violent and finish plays and even give a little extra attitude or a look or a little bit of a shoulder as he's walking away, you know, or like as he's getting up and kind of leans on you a little.
A defensive tone setter.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. And that's what they thought he was. I'm in the weird spot, by the way, of having my guy George Pickens be blowing up the league and everybody talking about him, but I really like the Jaquan Brisker pick. I really like it. He's got to be really good to make it worthwhile value-wise positionally, but he might be really good to make it worth it value-wise positionally.
Yeah, Pickens looks amazing.
Yeah.
Right? That catch was pretty ridiculous in the back of the end zone with the toe tap. That was a pretty high level catch.
And the swagger to who's the defensive back that he shoved
just shoved
in press
right
coverage
off the line of scrimmage. Yeah, I forgot the name of who it was, but it was great. And yeah, he's balling out. Receiver is more valuable than box safety, and just the rules. You know, I know Lawrence compared him to Bob Sanders. That's very 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 high praise. Bob Sanders, a great football player. I'm trying to think of modern NFL, there aren't many safeties that you feel like make an impact in the game through physicality because that like over the middle head hunting.
Yeah.
It's been legislated out of the game almost entirely.
Cam Chancellor?
Cam Chancellor is a recent example. Mm-hmm. Sure, but even like the Legion of Boom defense, man, it's what, we're 7-8 years ago at this
for
point?
For sure.
From their heyday?
I know, but for what they want to do and what they want to be, I am in a position of completely understanding the pick when I see him play like that.
Agreed. I agree with you. The whole rookie class looked really good. Like, Ryan Poles' rookies looked good, and Matt Eberflus's competence, functionality, the procedural nature of it, and yes, the hustle of the football team. Now, you said it's a low bar. It is. This is not going to be the praise that comes in after regular season games because it's just ridiculous to. And they didn't look good when it was Bears starters against Chiefs starters.
Right, but I expect the defense to overall look like this and give us this feeling, and that will breed a satisfaction that we're familiar with. We've had that before with great lovey defenses where we've had that satisfaction. Then we've been frustrated as we're waiting for and hoping for an offense that produces enough to make the defense matter. I've been expecting that to be the long-term dynamic.
Right. I still think, because a huge part of preseason is evaluating the successes or the failures of the guys on your team, but also understanding the other team's roster, right? Like, Tevin Jenkins's best block was against an undrafted rookie. You know, when he got in earlier in the game, earlier than either one of us thought, by the way, when he got in earlier in the game, he had some rough moments against more veteran competition. Jaquan Brisker did not do anything in the first drive of the game when Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce are on the field.
Yeah.
Then when the Chiefs' second string offense comes into the game, Brisker starts making a noticeable difference. That is not being a hater. He's a rookie second rounder, but it is an objective fact that you like it's a when giving successes or failures mm-hmm. for guys in preseason, you've got to note the level of the competition that they're going against. Justin Fields had some nice moments against man-to-man defense. You don't get a ton of straight man-to-man defense in the NFL all the time. Like, they're going to show you confusing defenses and mixed coverages and show you one thing and then drop into another thing. Like, it was a good first step, but I think we need to remember that just a preliminary first step. But the other part of the hits principle, like, and just the intensity portion of it,
mm-hmm.
when Fields had the late hit / late slide, however you want to interpret the play where he almost got his head taken off by Juan Thornhill.
It was a baseball slide by a baseball player who I thought knew how to do the quarterback slide by now and needs to be taught. Not the electric slide, but the quarterback slide where you really give yourself up and turn the body. Russell Wilson learned it. I thought Fields would learn it by now. He needs to learn it this week.
Completely agree with you because that play embodies everything about what I hate about preseason football.
Right. It's available to destroy a player and a season.
A season. Oh, if that play goes poorly and his cleat gets stuck in the ground.
And we've wasted a year.
We've wasted an entire year. We should not watch the games. And if they are the worst team in the league, they draft the next quarterback and we never find out if Justin Fields can be good as a Bear.
When's the Oklahoma-Notre Dame preseason game? They don't play preseason?
Right.
They don't bother. They just want those kids to be ready to go, and then the first time they play and put their bodies at risk, it actually matters.
That's
and the wins and losses.
Games are for.
But people say that. People say that in college football. They're like, yeah, most of the games early in college football are not big time games. Okay, yeah, but some of them are.
Some of them are.
Pull the opening weekend.
Right. I'm sure there's some crazy cross conference.
Oregon plays Georgia.
Yeah, there you go.
That's 11-3.
That matters. That one will matter all year until Georgia is fighting for their place in the SEC championship game.
Oregon plays Georgia. Cincinnati plays Arkansas. Mm-hmm. That's a top 20 matchup. Like, yeah, these teams, they play real people early. And these are quote-unquote amateurs. And it happens every single year.
Yeah.
The NFL players do not need preseason. The preseason only exists because of money.
Yeah, so they can charge an extra ticket price or $7.
Oh, yeah. Ohio State plays Notre Dame.
I was close. I had Notre Dame, Oklahoma. I knew Notre Dame was in a big early year. Non-conference game. They always are.
That's 2v5. So you have 3v11, Georgia, Oregon, and you have 2v5, Ohio State v. Notre Dame. But the Bears need 3 preseason games to get Justin Fields killed.
All right, shout out to me for knowing Notre Dame probably plays in an early game when really the whole weekend has had a tinge of sadness.
Florida State plays LSU.
It's just a little bit cold out there, Danny, just a tiny bit cold. And football, the appearance of the blue and orange number people all over my neighborhood there in the South Loop, it means that baseball season will end at some point. And I know that's something to be celebrated.
Over?
No, it's not over.
Oh, it's not over.
It's not over.
Okay, well.
There's 6 more weeks of compelling national baseball, if not local baseball.
Okay, well, I believe you. So we'll figure that out as we go. But when Justin Fields almost got his head taken off, Schofield and Borum ran over there.
Damn right they did.
And defended their guy.
That's right.
Even if their guy was in the wrong on the late slide and the bad slide.
Don't care.
That's part of what Matt Eberflus is talking about.
It's what Ryan Poles wants, too.
It's part of what Ryan Poles is talking about. So, like, there were signs of buy-in. Even if this team sucks, there were signs of genuine buy-in.
Yeah, you know what I love about this? It is holistic football that you are thinking about and talking, and not just fancy quarterback-driven offensive football. Let's just get a great deodorant. Make the deodorant bigger. No. You got to build the whole body. And they're going to build the body and hope that they also have the quarterback, but they know you need the whole damn body, and they're building it.
And that's fine. And I can be critical of the process that led to this because I do think there are things that matter more than this, and then simultaneously acknowledge the path that they went down. Step one, pass-fail. That was a pass. They seem to be buying in to what Matt Eberflus is selling, and the talent that Ryan Poles has acquired did a nice job in the first time that we got to actually see them hitting people wearing other jerseys. But Justin Fields obviously matters most. Spiegs thinks he had one of his best moments off the field in front of a microphone after the game that I certainly haven't heard. You'll hear it next with me on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
And here's the controversy. Listen, we love fun, right?
Afternoons on the Score.
I mean, we can get better at a lot of things, pretty much everything. So there's always room to improve, you know. We're not perfect at anything, so just improving overall.
No, they are far from perfect. Three drives in the preseason opener, 0 points, 18 plays, three punts. Some nice moments, though. The play to Tajay Sharp on the right sideline.
Absolutely.
Felt like a better catch than throw, frankly, given the pressure on Fields. I couldn't tell how much of the throw was luck because of the pressure that was on him, but the catch was very high degree of difficulty. It was a good throw. I just don't know if that was 100% by design or if he was just getting the ball out. The throw to Mooney was very high-level chemistry, I thought, between quarterback and receiver.
Absolutely, on both of them. On the Sharp one, on the sideline, remember, I made this assessment last year watching him. When he misses safe, in my opinion. Like, he misses with ball security, throwing it out of bounds or throwing it away from coverage. So I give him the benefit of the doubt that he's throwing it in only a place where the receiver can catch it. If it happens to be close enough, that means he's on point accuracy-wise to a perfect degree. But the one to Mooney was clearly... That's what it looks like when your wide receiver and your quarterback work together all offseason and are in lockstep. Mooney knew the ball was coming. He stopped. He turned around. He went up and showed Guagi. It was great.
I've got this matchup against this man-to-man defense, and I am going to get a step on my man, and then he will put it back shoulder, and I will make an adjustment and come down with it. It was great.
Absolutely.
That was great.
And then I happen to hear this, and I really want you and the listeners to hear this if you didn't. I don't know how often it happens. Maybe it happens a lot more than I know. We'll ask Mark Grody at 5 o'clock. But one-on-one, Justin Fields and Mark Grody post-game for 5 to 7, 8 minutes, I found it incredibly compelling because we're so used to hearing Fields with a group, Fields with a gaggle of reporters, and it's tough to be yourself and be calm and conversational. So listen just a little chunk of this. This is Fields. First thing they talk about is that play to Mooney, because Mooney had said to Grody that he really tried to make the most of his snaps out there because he wasn't going to have that many snaps. So Grody asked if Justin Fields about that.
He went up and made the play as well, and he told me on the sidelines, he said, well, I only had 10 plays to work with. Yeah. I had to make some sort of impact. Yeah. Did you feel that way too out there?
No, not really. I tried to change my mentality this year, not looking for big plays, just letting them come to me. So I'm really just doing my job, you know, taking completions, this and that, and trying to move the ball down the field. And when the big plays come, they'll come. So just taking care of the ball is my, you know, biggest thing. And the main focus that we want to do on offense.
That's interesting. Is that something that you wanted to do on your own, to not try to force the big play, let it come to you when the time is right? Or was that coaching? Did somebody say, hey, wait for it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a mixture between both. But actually, we have a new guy in the building. His name is Mike Wiley. He talked to the team. He's like a... not sure what his job title is.
Oh, he's the mental skills guy.
Skills guy, yeah. So he, you know, talked to us about, you know, just always, you know, not looking for a big play, just kind of being a contact guy, just putting it in a baseball reference rather than a home run hitter, you know, just being a contact guy, base hit, and then every now and then you'll get a home run. So really just taking that to heart and just, you know, keeping the ball moving, you know, just taking completions and, you know, just moving down the field. And then, of course, when those big opportunities do show up, you got to take advantage of them. So, yeah.
Got to ask you about the hit that you took. We all thought it looked like the slide hit. Yeah, tell me about it.
I was looking for a flag there. Definitely looking for a flag, but didn't get one. So talked to the refs after, and they said they thought he hit me in the shoulder, which he did. But still looking for like some quarter, like unsportsmanlike conduct, something. But you know, I think if I'm a, you know, 8, maybe hopefully 5 years from now, when I'm a, you know, solidified guy in the league, I'll get that. I feel like, you know, Tom Brady, I feel like one of those guys are getting that call. But hey, no hard feelings. But yeah.
That's exactly what Tom Thayer said in our booth. He said, man, that's Patrick Mahomes. Exactly. He's getting that call, right? So that's another thing you got to earn, right?
Exactly. I guess so. I guess you just got to earn it.
A couple other of the plays I wanted to talk about. The 3rd and 9 to Tajae Sharpe and the connection that you had with him. I think you guys were pretty backed up that point as well. Talk to me about that play.
It was a good play by him. Just to go right on the outside and, saw that the defender was kind of playing over the top, so I tried to throw him a back shoulder. He, made a great play. Made a one-handed catch on the sideline, got his feet in or his knee in or something like that, and, he made a great play, and I think, he's going to continue to grow, continue to get better, and be a big part in our offense this year.
I mean, there's so many guys competing for receiver this year, and I know a lot of guys are injured, like stuff like that for Tajae Sharpe. That's got to be big for him. Do you feel comfortable with him and all of these other wide receivers that you are working with and essentially trying out?
Yeah, I feel very comfortable with him. I think he's a sleeper pick for, most people. I think most people don't really know about him, but, he's a good receiver. I mean, in practice, he shows up every day, balls out, and he's, has a little wiggle to him, too. So he's a great receiver, too, and plus he has some, size to him also.
It's Justin Fields with our guy Mark Grody one-on-one. So he likes Tajae Sharpe. But I liked a lot of what I heard there. Singles hitter, baseball mentality. Of course I like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that just what you heard? He mentioned slide. He mentioned singles hitter. He mentioned home run approach. Is that why you liked it so much? Because he was making baseball points?
I just heard him saying, what's that guy's title? And Grody says yes. And then they're talking about, I wanted a flag. Oh, yeah, some kind of flag. Just like chilled out, relaxed, happy with himself to an extent because he executed. And just one-on-one, man.
One-on-one is certainly rare to get him.
Am I overblowing how much I liked that? What do you think?
I mean, listen, like whatever you like.
It feels like you're doubting my love.
No. I want you to like what you like. No, I didn't think there was anything like totally revolutionary in there. I am interested in talking to Grody about if he feels like he has some sort of rapport with him. I don't think he didn't get Fields last year. Certainly not in the regular season on the field after the game.
Certainly seemed like they had a comfortable rapport.
They did. And, Fields, it was weird. He had moments that were good. We mentioned the Sharpe throw, the Mooney throw, the scramble to the left for the run for the first down where they stacked a couple of nice plays together. Had a few plays where, Luke Getsy mentioned one where he didn't go to a secondary read and abandoned the pocket a little bit too early, and obviously no points on the board and the whole thing. But overall, I bet you he just felt like, all right, it's off my chest now, right?
Absolutely, it's over, man.
Nagy was on the other side.
That's what I felt.
This new guy is here, year two. I am the guy from day one. At that point, he had been out of the game for 3 quarters. Uh-huh. So you know what I mean? Like super relaxed, out of the pads.
Did his
calm job.
This is how we do it. These are the initial steps. And it's crazy because there was a whole year in there last year. But it's a new system. It's a guy that he says he feels connected to more than any quarterback coach he has felt at all. And that's Luke Getsy, says is the best quarterback coach he's ever had. And he's comfortable. And he's like, all right, this is what we're going to do. Okay, I will do it. And I do love the mental skills guy talking to him and him taking that singles mentality. Like, don't freak out about a big play, And he's a guy who looks downfield. We know he's going to look downfield.
Touchdown to check down mentality.
Right. Yeah. But in this offense, in West Coast offense, get your singles. When the big play's there, you take it. But get your singles. To me, it makes a lot of sense.
I think it does, too. The Tajae Sharpe part is taking advantage of an opportunity. He was not supposed to matter. Not in any material way.
For sure.
Mooney was supposed to be the one. Mm-hmm. Pringle, the two. St. Brown and Velus Jones, like, your 3 and 4. That was how it was supposed to be if you just judged contracts given in the offseason, resources spent, right? Velus Jones, a third-round pick. Pringle came from the same spot that Ryan Poles did. St. Brown came from the same spot that Getsy did. Those guys were supposed to be your dudes that matter. I know Tajae Sharpe was on the practice squad in Kansas City, so he has a tie to Poles also. But again, a practice squad player.
Sure.
He was not supposed to matter. There's a realistic path based on the preseason training camp reports, the preseason game one, and the injuries to the other guys. Tajae Sharpe could be a week one starter at receiver for the Bears.
It's totally possible. Now, did he get banged up a little bit yesterday?
Well, he was not at practice today.
He was
not at practice today, but the We'll hear from Grody later on. I don't know that there was if there was a substantive injury update on him, I certainly haven't seen it.
Okay,
I think it might have just been like a precaution after day one of prep.
For a guy who played a lot and did a lot of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, Tajay Sharpe, I mean, look, there's a bunch of names here. I still think they need to sign a wide receiver off the couch. I still would like to see. I mean, now it's later and maybe they won't. But, I mean, Dante Pettis played and made a catch or two. I know that name. He was productive in San Francisco for that one time, half a season, you know?
Yeah, right.
Things like that. Daz Newsome with the touchdown catch. Ugly moment on a punt return for Daz Newsome.
Had the play of the day today in practice, by the way.
Oh, did he?
Daz Newsome and Justin Fields apparently had the play of the day with a deep post over the middle.
All of these guys can run. And just about all of them can catch. It's a matter of who learns their routes well enough, who executes well enough, and who stays healthy. There's so many good athletes at wide receiver in the NFL. Every team is loaded with these guys. It's often about opportunity. We've seen that when guys have left here. Who's it? Keenan McCardell, who was in Bears camp one time, you know, and is in a couple other camps, ends up in Jacksonville and is a player for a decade.
Happens
all the time.
It does happen all the time. Availability, right? Guys who stay on the field can develop some chemistry with Justin Fields. They need it, man, because you didn't have Kmet either. You know, and Kmet is supposed to be the number two option in the passing game.
Did you laugh like I did when Fields makes a play? It's the rollout. It's a nice little rollout, actually, early. I liked scheme-wise that it looked exactly like the stretch run that came before it to Khalil Herbert. And then he rolls out and he throws it to someone named John. Guy's name is John. Is that his first name? No, it's his last name. It's Rice and John, the tight end. But I had a moment of like, oh, he threw that to who?
To John. Well, Rob wasn't available.
That's what I'm saying.
And then Jim is coming in next, right, followed by Joe.
Hey, here's Scott. Let's see if he can play.
There's not a lot of talent,
no,
man.
No, man.
And the offense, yeah.
And when the starters are out and there's no Kmet and somebody named John is just, I got it. I'm John.
Yeah. Texts are saying, wow, 0 points, three drives. You guys are grasping for anything to give you hope. Just prepare to be hurt again.
We will be hurt
again. The Bears offense is overwhelmingly likely to be bottom 10, if not bottom 5, in the entire NFL.
Well aware, sir. Yeah, thank you.
This is preseason game number one, and it was just a question of Spiegel loving Fields with Grody.
Yes.
Conversationally.
And he sounds comfortable. He sounds happy and ready to attack a rookie season.
We have offered up $100 to Ray Diaz, who's on loan from the Bernstein and Holmes show, and Adam Stasinski, who's in for Tanny and Shane for us, to track down St. Omni, who's apparently acting on Roquan Smith's behalf to try to facilitate trades, a business manager but not certified agent who the NFL has sent out a memo saying, don't do business with this man. Do we have an update, gentlemen?
So, yes, and it gets kind of interesting here. So we found his potential place of employment because in the Laramie Tunsil story, which I believe you guys mentioned in transition, which quoted St. Omni, it said that his employment was Lifeline Financial Group.
Right.
Right.
So we tracked down a number for Lifeline Financial Group, and Ray gave them a call. And this is what he asked.
I called. There was like a total of 9 people that were available on this automated message that you can get sent to. St. Omni, not on the message board. So I went to an executive assistant for a guy, I won't give his full name, but who is an employer there. First name Humble. So we've got a lot of interesting names at
Saint
Lifeline Financial
Humble.
Group.
Okay.
So Humble's assistant, Nicole, I spoke to her. I asked her about St. Omni. Is there really a guy named St. Omni that works here? I work for a radio station in Chicago. She said, well, he does work here, but you never see him in the office. He's never in the same place twice is literally what she said to me. So this man is very mysterious.
Oh, hold on. He's a man of mystery.
She gave you information on St. Omni. She said he doesn't technically work there?
He does work there,
but he's never in the office.
He's never in the same place twice, literally is what she said to me.
Did she have a cell phone?
No cell phone. And I asked, how about an email address? No email address, because he never responds to emails, so she doesn't keep it on file.
Oh, this guy's Austin Powers. He's an international man of mystery.
But he's a real person identified by this woman.
Oh, yeah. No,
He is, that he works there. That
so
he
you guys have cracked the case wide open. Yeah. He is a real person.
No, sorry, I mean, in terms of being an employee of the place.
Okay. Sorry to have to have that established for you. We did think he was a real person.
I knew he was a real person, but in terms of being an employee of the place.
So you found the place. I'd call back and hit a different number on the registry
and just ask different
and
executive
ask the same
assistants.
Question.
That's I will a great talk to call. All nine of these people this afternoon and do see it. If somebody will give me something. Yeah, on saying I'm
give me something.
Just what do you mean you don't keep one on file?
They have to have a number.
Yes,
they have to have a number.
Some, a different executive assistant will have a number. Just
all right, Diaz
them.
Is on the case.
Yeah, I'm feeling
Studs
confident.
Is here. We got a lot going
I'm
on.
I'm really confident.
Yeah. I feel good.
Love you, Ray.
So we're gonna get St. Omni, the confirmed real person.
$100.
Steve Stone at 4:00. Cease Fee Verlander tomorrow will be discussed. But coming up next, what a Chicago controversy. We got a fun update next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.